Let's open our Bibles together to the book of Proverbs. A little over a week ago, I started reading through the book of Proverbs for our daily reading. And we've been studying the book of James and talking a bit about wisdom. And I thought this would probably be a pretty good time for us to go through a little bit of the book of Proverbs. It's not going to be in-depth. That would take a very long time to try to cover the book of Proverbs in an in-depth way. But we can cover a few things just to kind of help us to appreciate the book and appreciate its place within our daily study and our daily reading and our daily meditation. And so let's begin in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. It states, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and let the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles." It's not often you begin a book of the Bible and you get kind of a thesis statement or a theme statement at the beginning of the book, but with Proverbs, you do. We're given this basic introduction as to what to expect as you work your way through the book. And I think there's a great need in wisdom in our daily lives and certainly in our society today. The lack of wisdom, the lack of godly guidance is destroying the lives of so many people. So many young people, and the old are not immune from the mistakes of lacking that guidance as well, for they end up making fools of themselves. Marriages become destroyed. Friendships are lost. Souls are doomed because of a lack of godly wisdom and guidance. But as Christians, our walk, our daily life, walking in the light, should be guided by the wisdom of God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So we're supposed to walk as those who are wise. But where does that wisdom come from? It comes from God Himself. He's provided what is necessary for righteous and godly living. The days are evil. Our time is limited. We're to make the best use of the time that we have. Too many simply waste their time and their lives by failing to, number one, be open to guidance in their life, but number two, to seek out that guidance, so that they can at least alleviate some of the headaches that they would go through, the consequences of their choices in this life. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." See, sometimes I think that we look at the book of Proverbs and say, that's a good book for the teenager to read. And we forget that it's a good book for all of us to read. All Scripture is breathed out and is profitable for us. Now, we would all nod in agreement when we say that we need some measure of wisdom within our lives. We need some guidance within our lives when we're faced, especially with life-altering decisions. But Solomon was given something extra, something special. We think about 2 Chronicles chapter 1 when we see this instance in which God appears to Solomon and says, "Ask what I shall give to you." And Solomon said, "You've shown great and steadfast love to David my father and have made me king in his place. O Lord God, let your word to David my father be now fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king, Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings who are before you and none after you shall have the like. So he asks for this wisdom in guiding God's people. And it's not just a matter of figuring out what kind of laws they ought to have. It's not just a matter of figuring out what the nation needs to do and who to be in a treaty with and all that sort of stuff. No, it came down to everyday wisdom as well. And we have a couple of instances of that knowledge and wisdom being used by Solomon in order to determine the correct course of action in a couple of cases. In 1 Kings chapter 4, in describing this measure of wisdom that was given to Solomon, it says there in verse 29 that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman, Calcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Not just wisdom that figures out who a child belongs to when two women contend with each other over it and ask for him to give them justice and a decision. Not just wisdom regarding, again, treaties with other nations, but even knowledge about the creation of the world around him. Insight into all of these different things. This is the individual that writes a majority of the book of Proverbs. You get toward the end of the book, you get to chapter 30, and you find words of Agur, the son of Jacob, and then you have in chapter 31 the words of King Lemuel. We talked about those recently on Mother's Day. And so it's not all by Solomon, but most of it is part of this wisdom that God gave to him. And so the purpose of the book was stated there in those first six verses, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. He had something beyond just being an encyclopedia in his mind, something that he could, somebody could ask, how much does an elephant weigh? And he just kind of figures that out in his mind and tells you. It's not just facts. It's the application of the knowledge. That's where wisdom really comes in. So it's not even just instruction, it becomes application of that instruction. It says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That last one's kind of hard. Judgment's hard enough as it is, but equity, to figure out fairness, to figure out how to equal out the balance scale. This is something that would have been very important for a king. And I believe that kind of goes to why Solomon asked for wisdom. Because I think that when he was faced with becoming king, I can imagine he was overwhelmed with the task at hand. I think David had spoken to Solomon enough. I think Solomon had seen in his father David enough to know that it was a big task to be king over God's people. And he took that seriously. He says that these proverbs, if we listen to them, if we pay attention to them, they can make us wise. And so that's what the book is designed to do. Give us understanding to make us wise. To learn how to act wisely. To learn how to act righteously. Now we're back to what we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that it's breathed out by God and it's profitable for us in multiple areas of instruction. And then the equity, to treat others with simple fairness. It has the power then to give common sense to the ignorant, to give sound advice to the young, and for those that already have some measure of wisdom, it has the power to make them more wise. Well, I already mentioned that wisdom was more than knowledge. It was an application of knowledge. But it gets defined as a realistic approach to the problems of life. That means it's practical advice. And that's why we say young people need to read the book of Proverbs. And some of the Proverbs are even written from that perspective. For example, chapter 2, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you." It's from that perspective of writing from a parent to a child at some young age. A realistic approach to the problems of life. But there's also a contrast that gets used so often within the book of Proverbs. You have this contrast between the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. And that contrast is presented in such a way in which if you follow the way of the wicked, don't be surprised that these are the things that are going to come out of that. But if you follow the way of the righteous and you forsake the way of the wicked, you stay away from them, and he even shows them how it would present itself, stay away from even that appearance, go to the other side of the street kind of an idea, then that doesn't mean life is rosy and life never has any bumps along the way, but it's sure a lot smoother than it would have been on the other side. And so it becomes this realistic approach to the problems of life. Homer Haley defined it, saying, "Wisdom is insight into the underlying causes and significance or consequences of things, which insight enables one to apply to the best and end the knowledge which he has." In other words, you evaluate the situation and you seek out guidance. We need to seek out the guidance that is contained, yes, within the book of Proverbs, but within the Bible itself. Because here is the creator of the universe, the one that knows us better than we know ourselves, and he says, look, this is how you ought to live your life. This is how you ought to conduct yourself. This is how you ought to handle these particular areas of your life. And if we have any sense, we listen. We listen to that guidance because it is perfect guidance. It is what is best for us. To illustrate this, you find yourself in some sort of a confrontation. Doesn't matter who it's with. That confrontation gets a little bit heated. It's not a simple disagreement, but it's a real confrontation, and you have a choice to how to react to that. You have one choice that says, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm going to lash out at you, maybe even do so physically. Or you have the other side that says, Lord, show me how I ought to react to such a situation. Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, what's the outcome of that confrontation if it just keeps escalating and there's no way to deflate it? Maybe a physical confrontation, maybe worse. Maybe lasting consequences out of that. But a soft answer turns away wrath. Wisdom is that insight which helps you decide what's the best thing I can do in this situation. What's the best way to handle this? There's still times when I call my father or I sit down with him at his house and I tell him about something going on in our life. Now, there's a certain amount of therapeutic value to just talking about something. But also, most of the time, he has some comment to make. He has some input. Or maybe even, you know, some many years ago, I faced something like that. And we listen to our parents, and we go to them for advice, but what about listening to our Heavenly Father, who always knows the right advice to give? And so the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are all dedicated to describing the value of wisdom. 9 chapters just to drive home that point that you need to listen. That this is something valuable. Look over in chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So he describes this wisdom, it personifies wisdom and the value of holding on to that particular wisdom more than silver and gold. People go to the ends of this earth looking to dig up precious metals out of the ground. Gold is rare enough now that you got to dig up massive and massive amounts of earth just to get little bitty nuggets of gold anymore. And he says, wisdom is better. Wisdom is more profitable than that. And yet, it's given freely. It's available freely. Look down in verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. It becomes an adornment for us, an addition, something valuable that people can see in us because we are following godly wisdom. And often, the writer, Solomon, is giving the converse as well, those pitfalls to worry about. Chapter 1, he talks about the evil companionship. Don't associate with them. Don't follow along with them. Don't listen to them when they entice you to come with them to commit their sinful acts. Or chapter 5, the immoral woman that they needed to stay away from could ruin their lives, ruin marriages, ruin families. Or chapter 6, talking about laziness. How it could destroy your life, it could put you in a state of want, it could harm those that are around you. And so we should be able to see that this wisdom from God through Solomon is of great value. And so we need to value taking our time through the book of Proverbs here and there. You see, we can gain wisdom in 2 basic ways. First, you got trial and error. That's personal experience. One's own experiences can be a source of some measure of wisdom when we learn a lesson. You know, it's go walking barefoot out in the yard and you step on something you didn't see and it harms your foot. You probably learned a lesson not to walk barefoot out in the yard, or at least look at where you're walking, right? You learned a lesson from that. That's trial and error. That's personal experience. But there's disadvantages to that, because going out there barefooted, stepping on something that harms your foot, there's a consequence. That was a hard lesson learned. There's damage to you. Now, that's a simple illustration, but spiritually, it might be a lot worse than that. It could damage relationships. We could damage our standing with others. And the fact is, if that's the only way we ever gain any wisdom, you could spend an entire lifetime wasting away with consequences over and over and over because you've faced with trial and error. And some of those consequences aren't temporary. Some of those consequences last a lifetime. And if that's the only way somebody gains that wisdom, then, well, they've got to survive those errors, don't they? But the second is to receive it by the counsel of others. Maybe that's somebody else who has learned from those things, like me talking with my father and us talking about some of the things that we've faced in life. And there's an advantage to gaining wisdom through the instruction of someone else. You don't necessarily have to face that trial and error consequence in order to gain from that wisdom. But here we are with God providing an entire book that's dedicated to instilling basic wisdom principles to guide our lives, allowing us to avoid some of those consequences, allowing us to see some of those things before we get there. I'll admit, I don't like driving at night anymore. It didn't bother me when I was young, and that was probably just ignorance, not realizing some of the things that can happen. But these days, every time I drive at night, I'm thinking, I just can't see far enough. Because I'm thinking about what could be out there. Out here, driving between, let's say, Burnett and Lampasas, it might be animal life. Trips we made between here and Florida, it could be some hazard on the roadway, some other vehicle, somebody on the side of the road. There's all sorts of things that your mind works through. Why? Because you've gained enough knowledge to know that there are dangers out there. There are dangers that could pose a serious hazard. God has written the book of Proverbs through Solomon in such a way as to tell you there are hazards out there. Here's how to recognize them. Here's how to avoid them. But we have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to seek out that wisdom. Then we can avoid years of trial and error. And we can experience, again, not necessarily a rosy life, but we can experience a much smoother life, following righteousness and godliness rather than following the ways of the world. Just based on those two primary methods, we ought to see the value of Proverbs, counsel from God to avoid mistakes and consequences. Instead of wasting our time that we have here on this earth trying to discover wisdom, we could actually seek and learn wisdom. We find wisdom there it's divinely inspired from this Creator that knows us so well. It's been proven by generations of righteous people who lived out their lives by it. Expressed concisely in ways to remember. I don't know if you ever read one of the classic books, Don Quixote. In that book, Cervantes defines a proverb, and he says that it is a short sentence based on long experience. It's something that we can quickly gain the benefit of, that if we had to live through it in order to learn that, it would take a lot longer, and it would be a lot more difficult. That doesn't mean there's no effort into gaining this knowledge. There has to be effort put forth. We have to desire it. We have to want it. We have to seek it. Again, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight, if you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." We have to put in the effort. But personally, my opinion, Solomon made it about as easy as one can make it. Simple to understand, short sayings that we can make application from. And there's not anyone here that could say, there is nothing in the book of Proverbs for me. Because it's there for everyone. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, as we read earlier in our study of James, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Not a snap of the fingers and suddenly it's in your mind, but God's made it available. And honestly, when we're talking about the book of Proverbs, when you talk about different things you could study within the Bible or different books, Proverbs is probably one of the most straightforward. If you're willing to listen, if you're willing to heed. You know, millions and millions of dollars are spent on people buying self-help books. There's obviously a desire by people to have some sort of training or guidance in their lives. So why are they buying those books instead of listening to Solomon? By the way, any self-help book that I've ever seen that I thought was any good, you could trace what they said to the Bible. Man's never really come up with anything on his own. Certainly never came up with anything better than what God had to say. We simply need to listen. So I hope this helps you to understand the value of reading and studying the book of Proverbs. Not reading it in such a way as, okay, how long is it going to take me to get through this? But reading it in such a way as to break it down into chunks, identify the theme, and what's my takeaway? Take something away from every time you sit down to read the book of Proverbs. And don't just stick with chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 31. Those are the popular ones. Everybody likes those chapters. Take all of it and take your time through it. And it will be beneficial. And so in future lessons, we're going to look at a few things within the book of Proverbs a little bit more closely, a few of the discourses, and consider the wisdom that is offered by God to allow us to live our life in a way that would be pleasing to Him. And so we need to think about this guidance in our life in which God has said, if you want to be one of my children, if you want to be in my family, this is the way you are to conduct yourself: righteous and godly. And if you realize that you're here this evening and you know that you've not been living your life according to the wisdom that He has provided, you've not been living righteous and godly, it's time to repent and change that. And if we can offer assistance, if we can help you in some way in order to accomplish that task, then please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.